23. Sometimes to prove their manhood, boys of about YT's age will drive to the eastern end of the Hollywood Hills into Griffith Park, pick the road of their choosing, and simply drive through it. Making it through there unscathed is a lot like counting coups on a high plains battlefield. Simply having come that close to danger makes you more of a man. By definition, all they ever see are the through streets. If you are driving into Griffith Park for some hijinks, and you see a no-outlet sign, you know that it's time to shift your dad's Accord into reverse and drive it backward all the way back home, revving the engine way past the end of the tachometer. Naturally, as soon as YT enters the park, following the road she was told to follow, she sees a no-outlet sign. YT's not the first courier to take a job like this, and so she has heard about the place she is going. It is a narrow canyon, accessed only by this one road, and down in the bottom of the canyon, a new gang lives. Everyone calls them the Falabalas, because that's how they talk to each other. They have their own language, and it sounds like babble. Right now, the important thing is not to think about how stupid this is. Making the right decision is, priority-wise, down there along with getting enough niacin and writing a thank you letter to Grandma for the nice pearl earrings. The only important thing is not to back down. A row of machine gun nests marks the border of Falabella territory. It seems like overkill to YT, but then, she's never been in a conflict with the Mafia either. She plays it cool, idles toward the barrier at maybe 10 miles an hour. This is where she'll freak out or get scared if she's going to. She is holding aloft a color-faxed Radic-AS document featuring the cybernetic Radish logo, proclaiming that she really is here to pick up an important delivery, honest. It'll never work with these guys. But it does. A big gnarled-up coil of razor ribbon is pulled out of her way, just like that, and she glides through without slowing down. And that's when she knows that it's going to be fine. These people are just doing business here, just like anyone else. She doesn't have to skate far into the canyon, thank God. She goes around a few turns into kind of an open flat area surrounded by trees and finds herself in what looks like an open-air insane asylum. Or a Mooney Festival or something. A couple of dozen people are here. None of them have been taking care of themselves at all. They're all wearing the ragged remains of what used to be pretty decent clothing. Half a dozen of them are kneeling on the pavement with their hands clenched tightly together, mumbling to unseen entities. On the trunk lid of a dead car, they've set up an old junked computer terminal, just a dark monitor screen, with a big spiderweb crack in it, like someone bounced a coffee mug off the glass. A fat man, with red suspenders dangling around his knees, is sliding his hands up and down the keyboard, whacking the keys randomly, talking out loud in a meaningless babble. A couple of the others stand behind him, peeking over his shoulder and around his body, and sometimes they try to horn in on it, but he shoves them out of the way. There's also a crowd of people clapping their hands, swaying their bodies, and singing the Happy Wanderer. They're really into it, too. YT hasn't seen such childlike glee on anyone's face since the first time she let Roadkill take her clothes off. But this is a different kind of childlike glee that does not look right on a bunch of 30-something people with dirty hair. And finally, there is a guy that YT dubs the High Priest. He's wearing a formerly white lab coat bearing the logo of some company in the Bay Area. He's sacked out in the back of a dead station wagon, but when YT enters the area, he jumps up and runs toward her in a way that she can't help but find a little threatening. But compared to these others, he seems almost like a regular, healthy, fit, demented, bush-dwelling psychotic.
"You're here to pick up a suitcase, right?"
"I'm here to pick up something. I don't know what it is," she says. He goes over to one of the dead cars, unlocks the hood, pulls out an aluminum briefcase. It looks exactly like the one that Squeaky took out of the BMW last night.
"Here's your delivery," he says,
striding toward her. She backs away from him instinctively.
I understand," he says. "I'm a scary creep."
He puts it on the ground, puts his foot on it, gives it a shove. It slides across the pavement to YT, bouncing off the occasional rock.
"There's no big hurry on this delivery," he says. Would you like to stay and have a drink? We've got Kool-Aid.
I'd love to, YT says, but my diabetes is acting up real bad.
Well, then you can just stay and be a guest of our community. We have a lot of wonderful things to tell you about. Things that could really change your life.
Do you have anything in writing? Something I can take with me?
Gee, I'm afraid we don't. Why don't you stay? You seem like a really nice person.
Sorry, Jack, but you must be confusing me with a bimbo, YT says. Thanks for the suitcase. I'm out of here.
YT starts digging at the pavement with one foot, building up speed as fast as she can. On her way out, she passes by a young woman with a shaved head, dressed in the dirty and haggard remains of a Chanel knockoff. As YT goes by her, she smiles vacantly, sticks out her hand, and waves.
Hi, she says. Bamazunala amupagolu nemeabadu.
Yo, YT says. A couple of minutes later, she's pooning her way up I-5, headed up into Valleyland. She's a little freaked out. Her timing is off. She's taking it easy. A tune keeps running through her head. The Happy Wanderer. It's driving her crazy. A large black blur keeps pulling alongside her. It would be a tempting target, so large and ferrous, if it were going a little faster. But she can make better time than this barge, even when she's taking it slow. The driver's side window of the black car rolls down. It's the guy, Jason. He's sticking his whole head out the window to look back at her, driving blind. The wind at 50 miles per hour does not ruffle his firmly gelled razor cut. He smiles. He has an imploring look about him, the same look that roadkill gets. He points suggestively at his rear quarter panel. What the hell? The last time she pooned this guy, he took her exactly where she was going. YT detaches from the Acura she's been hitched to for the last half mile, swings it over to Jason's fat olds. And Jason takes her off the freeway and onto Victory Boulevard, headed for Van Nuys, which is exactly right. But after a couple of miles, he swings the wheel sharply right and screeches into the parking lot of a ghost mall, which is wrong. Right now, nothing's parked in the lot but an 18-wheeler, motor running, Salducci Brothers, moving in storage, painted on the sides.
Come on, Jason says, getting out of his Oldsmobile. You don't want to waste any time.
Screw you, asshole, she says, reeling in her poon, looking back toward the boulevard for some promising westbound traffic. Whatever this guy has in mind, it is probably unprofessional.
Young lady, says another voice, an older and more arresting sort of voice. It's fine if you don't like Jason, but your pal, Uncle Enzo, needs your help.
A door on the back of the semi has opened up. A man in a black suit is standing there. Behind him, the interior of the semi is brightly lit up. Halogen light glares off the man's slick hairdo. Even with this backlighting, she can tell it is the man with the glass eye.
What do you want? She says.
What I want, he says, looking her up and down, and what I need are different things. Right now I'm working, see? Which means that what I want is not important. What I need is for you to get into this truck along with your skateboard and that suitcase. Then he adds, am I getting through to you? He asks the question almost rhetorically, like he presumes the answer is no.
He's for real, Jason says, as though YT must be hanging on his opinion.
Well, there you have it, the man with the glass eye says.
YT is supposed to be on her way to a Reverend Wayne's Pearly Gates franchise. If she screws up this delivery, that means she's double-crossing God, who may or may not exist, and in any case, who is capable of forgiveness. The Mafia definitely exists, and hews to a higher standard of obedience. She hands her stuff, the plank in the aluminum case, up to the man with the glass eye, then vaults up into the back of the semi, ignoring his proffered hand. He recoils, holds up his hand, looks at it to see if there's something wrong with it. By the time her feet leave the ground, the truck is already moving. By the time the door is pulled shut behind her, they have already pulled onto the boulevard.
Just gotta run a few tests on this delivery of yours, the man with the glass eyes says.
Ever think of introducing yourself? YT says.
Nah, he says. People always forget names. You can just think of me as that one guy, you know?
YT is not really listening. She is checking out the inside of the truck. The trailer of this rig consists of a single, long, skinny room. YT has just come in through its only entrance. At this end of the room, a couple of mafia guys are lounging around, the way they always do. Most of the room is taken up by electronics. Big electronics.
Going to just do some computer stuff, you know? He says, handing the briefcase over to a computer guy.
YT knows he's a computer guy because he has long hair and a ponytail, and he's wearing jeans, and he seems gentle. Hey, if anything happens to that, my ass is grass, YT says. She's trying to sound tough and brave, but it's a hollow act in these circumstances. The man with the glass eye is, like, shocked.
What do you think I am? Some kind of incredibly stupid dickhead? He says. Shit, that's just what I need. Trying to explain to Uncle Enzo how I managed to get his little bunny rabbit shot in the kneecaps.
It's a non-invasive procedure, the computer guy says in a placid, liquid voice. The computer guy rotates the case around in his hand a few times, just to get a feel for it. Then he slides it into a large open-ended cylinder that is resting on the top of a table. The walls of the cylinder are a couple of inches thick. Frost appears to be growing on this thing. Mystery gases continuously slide off it like teaspoons of milk dropped into turbulent water. The gases plunge out across the table and drop to the floor, where they make a little carpet of fog that flows and blooms around their shoes. When the computer guy has it in place, he yanks his hand back from the cold. Then he puts on a pair of computer goggles. That's all there is to it. He just sits there for a few minutes. YT is not a computer person, but she knows that somewhere, behind the cabinets and doors, in the back of this truck, there is a big computer doing a lot of things right now.
It's like a CAT scanner, the man with the glass eye says, using the same hushed tone of voice as a sportscaster in a golfing tournament. But it reads everything, you know? He says, rotating his hands impatiently in all-encompassing circles.
How much does it cost?
I don't know.
What's it called?
Doesn't really have a name yet.
Well, who makes it?
We made the goddamn thing, the man with the glass eye says. Just like in the last couple of weeks.
What for?
You're asking too many questions. Look, you're a cute kid. I mean, you're a hell of a chick. You're a knockout. But don't go thinking you're too important at this stage.
At this stage?